Hello, and welcome to the Scottish Song Guide with the Sorries.
I'm Marty.
And I am Douglas. And today we're going to be telling you all about the song Bonnie Dundee.
Tae the Lord's convention was clever how spoke. He the king's crown go down, there are crowns to be broke. So you fine cavaliers who love honour and me, come follow the bonnet, so Bonnie Dundee.
Bonnie Dundee was written by Walter Scott on Thursday, the 22nd of December. 18...
Can you be a bit more precise?
Well, at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah, we know this because he records the moment when he wrote it in his diary. Well, the day when he wrote it.
Sorry, anyway. I cut you off when you were saying the year.
25. I'm actually, if I may be permitted, I'd actually like to read a little bit of his diary here. So, as I said, this is Thursday the 22nd of December 1825. He says, "The air of Bonnie Dundee running in my head today. I wrote a few verses to it before dinner, taking the keynote from the story of Clavers leaving the Scottish Convention of Estates in 1688-89. I wonder if they are good." He says, "There's a little of the big bow wow about it," which is what he called his novels. He said the big bow wow strain was what he was good at. Then he says, "Can't say what made me take a frisk so uncommon of late years as to write verses of free will. I suppose the same impulse which makes birds sing when a storm seems blown over." This is because around that time, he'd heard the whiff of financial problems that would eventually make him nearly bankrupt. But one of the wonderful things about Scott was his refusal to go bankrupt, actually. He just wrote his, he wrote himself.
Yeah.
Wrote himself to death, basically. To write his way out of the trouble. But he had heard that rumours and he was very worried about it, but he thought at this point that it was going to be okay. So he comes out with this extraordinary kind of defiant lyric for Bonnie Dundee.
Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can, come saddle my horses and call out my men, unhook the Westport and let us go free.
It's interesting that you mentioned that Scott said he had the ear to Bonnie Dundee running around his head, because it suggests, as was the case, that it was a pre-existing tune.
Was the ear called Bonnie Dundee then? That was the original name of
it. The original ear was called Adieu Dundee.
Right.
And that appeared in 1620, round about that period, in the Skene collection. And apparently there had been words to it then. At this point, though, and latterly, with all versions up to Scott's time, the song Bonnie Dundee was about the town of Dundee, whereas Scott's one, as we'll come on to, is about the person who became known as Bonnie Dundee, John Graham of Claverhouse.
Scott was on a one-man mission to rehabilitate Claver's reputation, Bloody Claver's reputation, in fact, that he objected to. He thought it was a bit harsh.
In terms of the tune, after the Skene collection, it then appears as Bonnie Dundee in a collection called The Dancing Master at the tail end of the 17th century. It's actually an English publication of dance tunes. So Bonnie Dundee by that time, or Adieu Dundee, the tune has been transformed into Bonnie Dundee. And then it appears again in the 18th century. And actually, Robert Burns, surprise, surprise, is involved. He took 4 lines of earlier words, added 12 to them, and there's a version then appeared in Johnson's Musical Museum, which was the collection which also featured Auld Lang Syne so on. But it appeared actually earlier in the Beggar's Opera, earlier in the 18th century, and that's
John
Gay's
piece.
Yeah, that's one of the references that Scott makes, because he writes to his, I think it's his daughter-in-law, Jane, is it, that he writes to?
Probably.
And
I should know.
He writes to her about the tune and says that he's written the words and he's put them to this old air, and he said that it's the tune has been Jockey's Escape from Dundee, it's been the Scots Carn O' Bonnie Dundee, and it's also Bonnie Dundee as in...
So he knew the tune had had a long history anyway.
Funnily enough, those 3 versions were all in a minor key, and as you'll hear from our carefully placed snippets throughout this podcast, as you can hear when you listen to Bonnie Dundee now, it's very much a major key and a kind of very strident piece. But again, the rhythm's slightly changed. And in fact, the tune is now used sometimes as a sort of jig in ceilidhs for Scottish country dances, where it's... you know, so it hasn't got that strident boom. It's a real 6/8 sort of... Well, yeah. A jig, yeah.
Yeah.
My
horses and call out my men, unhook the Westport and let us go free. But it's up with a bonnet, so Bonnie Dundee. I mentioned that Scott was on a one-man mission to rehabilitate Clavers. This is because Clavers' reputation as Bloody Clavers had been kind of gathered when he was... Well, in the events leading up to what the song talks about... In the years leading up to that, he'd basically been a cavalry commander in the West, which was, as some people have said, a kind of long-term brutal police action where he was putting down the Covenanters in the West.
Yeah, they'd been forced. This is a sort of 1670s kind of time, I think, and they were kind of forced into preaching out of doors in these
following the Restoration.
Yeah, there are some tales of him being really. Really harsh. But he became Lord Provost of Dundee about 5 years before his death. And although, you know, he had this reputation for putting down the common man and so on, his first act when he was made Provost of Dundee was to abolish the death penalty for theft. And he'd also been suspended from the Privy Council for complaining about the conditions that the sort of rank and file had to put up with as well. So... He had a bit of history of kind of...
Bloody Clavers, working class hero, discuss. I don't think so.
Bloody Scargill.
That's where you're going with this, really, isn't it?
Controversial.
I suppose, though, in all seriousness, it does kind of make the point that if Scott is trying to rehabilitate Dundee, which we've been banging on about, it's probably because... The reputation has suffered so badly from history because, as usual, history is written by the winners. Yeah. So they went after him and nailed him good and proper.
And it's funny because he was really, as you say, he was known as Bloody Clavers and was thought to have basically murdered people in front of their wives and children and so on.
Yeah, the dragoons he commanded in the West had a really awful reputation. For brutality.
Yeah, but he actually married into... his wife came from a really staunch covenanting family. So, again, there's this sort of dual side of him. Dundee is mounted and right up the street. The bells are on backwards, the drums they are beat. But the provost this man, he says, just leave him be. For I'm tune as well, riddle that devil Dundee. Clever House had served on the continent in the 1670s, the early 1670s, and he was in the service of Louis the 14th, but he was under the Duke of Monmouth and Hugh Mackay, who was later his opponent at Killiecrankie.
Okay.
And legend has it that whilst fighting alongside William of Orange, William of Orange fell from his horse. His horse got stuck in sort of marshy ground. And the story goes that Clavers actually saved William of Orange's life. William of Orange, who became then King William.
I bet he was chuffed about that looking back.
although, funnily enough, it was William of Orange who wrote to James, Duke of York, who, as I said, then became James II, recommending Claver House when he returned to Britain from the continent.
So they both had cause to regret their actions. To the Lord's convention was Claver House spoke. We the king's crown go down, there are crowns to be broke. So you fine cavaliers who love honour and me, come follow the bonnet, so Bonnie Dundee, come fill up my cup. Scott's song, as he says, takes us at setting the Scottish Convention of Estates of 1688-89, which is effectively a Scottish Parliament, a form of Scottish Parliament. It's quite complicated in the 17th century because there had been so many invasions, counter-invasions. You know, there's almost a theocracy in the middle of the century for a few years, but 9 years, I think. But in essence, that Parliament was convened 1688-89 to decide who was going to be King of Scotland.
Because by this time, William of Orange had come over.
In the Glorious Revolution of 1688.
Yeah, his wife was a Stuart, you know. Yeah. So James II and 7th of Scotland was actually his father-in-law.
It's a family spat.
Yeah.
on a grand scale. Yeah. Involving a bit of Rome in the background as well.
I can't believe I always have to buy Mum's birthday present. That kind of carry on.
The funny thing about it is, it's a little bit, there's some kind of blind date thing going on here, because they basically read out letters from William and from James. James, by this stage, is in Ireland with a full army. And William writes a letter, apparently, which is... They said, what are you laughing at?
I'm just thinking of the blind date. So, William, why do you want to be king?
That is what it is.
Yeah.
Except they kept the cheap innuendo and rubbish rhymes and things out of it.
I've got a lot of soldiers.
And the Hessians, go, I tell you. Don't talk to me about Hessian.
Anyway, sorry.
We should just get back to the subject,
yeah,
shouldn't
probably,
we?
Yeah.
So, Bruce Lenman, his Jacobite risings in Britain, is really good on this. But he says, in effect, that William is conciliatory, plays the card that says, you know, it's all about everything's going to be fine and business as usual, and holding out the kind of olive branch. James makes a total hash of things and writes a letter that effectively says, how dare you? It's my right. You know, anyone that steps out of line is bang out of order and there will be consequences. He threatens and bullies. The convention, apparently, when it was convened again, according to Lenman, says that there was not, it wasn't a foregone conclusion that they were going to go for William, that they might not have done. But the letters kind of swung it the wrong way as far as James's supporters were concerned. Dundee keeps cajoling, demands things like safe conduct to Ireland and things like that he knows. It's all political manoeuvring, basically, to try and win the propaganda battle at the back end of that. But he eventually flounces out of Edinburgh, down the Westport, has a meeting just before that with the Duke of Gordon, who's in charge of the castle.
This in March that Dundee's in March 1689 that Dundee's at the Convention of Estates.
Yeah. And that's when he rides out with his with his bonnets to raise the standard. There are hills beyond Pentland and lands beyond the Forth, be there lords in the south, there are chiefs in the north. But the spine canny wassels 3,000 times we cry hey for the bonnets. Of course, over the years, so many of the verses have just been quietly dropped. I think that the existing version and the version we sing is what, the first, the second, the eighth and the tenth verse. Yeah. There's 11 verses in total originally.
Yeah, yeah. Which I think Scott himself said that he knew was too long.
That's right,
but, yeah, which is, it's strange with a lot of these songs. A lot of them you go to and there have been verses added through the years, but these 11 verses are all Scott's. And actually, I think, I don't know about you, but I think there are some verses which we don't sing, which...
We
probably should, because actually they're great verses.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Scott references throughout the song some of these events, obviously around the Convention of Estates, but some of the events leading up to it and some of the things in Claverhouse's life. Yeah. So, for example, the fifth verse, it is, I think, talks about these kills of Kilmarnock
has spits in its spears and long-hafted gullies to kill cavaliers, but they shrunk to close heads and the causeway was free at the toss of the bonnet to
Bonnie Dundee. So it's referring to those covenanting opponents of Claverhouse in Ayrshire in the southwest. And the fact that, you know, when they saw him, they shrunk away, you know, because...
He's calling them chickens, basically.
Yeah.
So it's, as a propaganda job, it's quite impressive, because before that, when he's talking about coming down the West Bow, it's all about how all the nice-looking young girls really like him and really fancy him, whereas the old, ugly ones...
Oh, yeah, are shaking their fists
at him. Spitting at him and things like that, yeah. And then he's talking about the Whigs and everything. And then, but of course, then he goes on to talk about an actual meeting that I was mentioning with the Duke of Gordon.
Uh-huh.
He gives a couple of verses to that. And the Duke of Gordon apparently did demand, you know, where he was going. The Gordon, the verse goes, the Gordon demands of him which way he goes, Where'er shall direct me the shade of Montrose? And this is Dundee is reputed to have said that, you know, where are you going? He says, well, you know, wherever the memory of Montrose takes me, effectively. Yeah. So he's, even then, Dundee himself is self-consciously kind of hooking into what has become a royalist hero. Just, you know, so that even in the period, but Scott picks up on that and brings it back into the song.
Yeah, and just from a historical point of view, what do you think? Because Gordon is obviously has sympathies with Dundee and so on.
Yeah,
and I mean, he then goes on to hold the castle for another 3 months or something,
that's right.
Doesn't he?
Even after it's been decided that he's holding it for James.
Yeah.
Even after it's been decided that this is no longer appropriate.
Yeah. Meanwhile, James has decided he prefers Paris.
Pretty much.
He spurred to the foot of the proud castle rock, and with the gay Gordon he gallantly spoke. Let Mons Meg and Armaros speak twa words of thee, for the love o' the bonnet so bonny Dundee. The Gordon demands of him which way he goes. Where'er shall direct me the shade of Montrose? Your grace in short space shall hear tidings of me, a bit low lies a bonnet, oh bonny Dundee.
I think that one of the interesting things that comes out of all this stuff is I'm fascinated by why have these verses been missed out. I mean, I know we missed them out, but that's partly because I didn't even know they existed when I first learned the song.
Yeah, but then again, part of the reason that we miss them out is that the song as we play is, you know, a shade over 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
By including, we do 4 verses of 11. So, you know, we're almost tripling the song in length if we put in all the verses.
Yeah.
And so there's obviously the practical performance reason for it. So
I do wonder whether it was, I mean, yes, absolutely, I buy that. But I do wonder whether it's to do with also that the sort of the history of it. I mean, you know, like I said, there's 2 verses about what he said to the Duke of Gordon. Now, if you happen to know that anecdote, that means something. If you don't, it's kind of, I wonder whether it's the fact that people don't know the history of that period so well. I mean, I know I don't really.
Yeah, but then you also take it and think about the way these songs are passed on. And a good case in point is Trinent Muir that we were talking about in the last podcast. And that's another song which has, I think, 10 verses, which is generally cut to 4 or 5 nowadays. But if you think of the way that, okay, this song is after Trinent Muir, you know, a good sort of 60-70 years after that one was written.
Mm.
And, you know, it's obviously published and printed and so on. But still there is that sort of oral element of people passing these on. And as you know, it's easier to remember 4 verses you know, 11 verses.
Also, I suppose the main parts of the historical story, you know, Dundee leaves the Convention of Estates and says, "Stuff yous, I'm for King James," and rides out.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, the main parts of the story are there in the version that the 4-verse version of it. It's the colour around it that's gone.
Yeah. And also perhaps by removing some of the sort of characters and sort of by removing some of the minutiae of the politics in the scene, you know, it maybe makes it more general and acceptable by everyone.
Yeah, well, maybe.
It could be something.
But it still leaves this sort of Dundee as the icon. But like you were saying earlier, it's a bit of a shame because some of the verses are cracking.
Yeah, yeah. Did I mention the one about Kirstorfin?
Sadly, yes. Still, nobody's perfect. Scott knew it was too long, and that's near the end. Actually, the very last chorus that Scott wrote is the one where it's up with the bonnets of Bonnie Dundee, as opposed to way for the bonnets of Bonnie Dundee.
Yeah,
so it's that is he kind of shifts things a little bit as he goes through. So actually, the one that people remember is the last chorus, and again, it's that oral thing. It's an easier one to remember, maybe.
Yeah.
It's a bit more striking.
Uh-huh. With sure-featured twigs, the grass market was crammed, as if half the West had said tryst to be hanged. There was spite in each look, there was fear in each eye, as they watched for the bonnet so bonny Dundee. Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can, come saddle my horses and call out my men. Westport and let us go free, but it's up with the bonnet, so bunny the...
So quite aside from its popularity in Scotland and its kind of place as one of the staples of the kind of Scots folk songbook, the song's gone on to have a bit of a life of its own out with Scotland, and it was kind of very popular during the American Civil War. It was kind of retitled and reworked into a song called Riding a Raid, which was about the Confederate cavalry marching the cavalry on horses, marching
carrying their horses to save them.
Yeah.
But then, of course, then Scott, you see, is blamed by Mark Twain for the American Civil War, because Twain says, half tongue in cheek, says that too many Southern gentlemen were reading too many Scott novels about the gallantry of conflict and how it's so sort of marvellous and chivalrous, and that they all thought it would be a tremendous idea to get an opportunity to be chivalrous in public.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're quite in favour of the idea of a big war, because that gives them the opportunity to be heroes, he thinks.
Yeah. Having said that, had Scott lived into the 1930s, then he might have blamed Twain for the Depression for glamorising the fun you can have running about in your bare feet.
When you're skint. And hungry.
Yeah.
Could be onto someone there, though.
I'm trying it, but... Yeah, so I was just going to mention as well, I think not only the song's popularity, but Scott's standing as well has maybe reflected partly in the fact that it was referenced by Kipling in His Majesty's Servant. It was called where he has a kind of reference to Bonnie Dundee, which is the same rhythm and so on. And in Through the Looking Glass by Lewis Carroll as well, there's a parody of it.
But of course, parodies only work if everyone knows the original.
Yeah.
There's another one even later than that, in what, 79, The Cheeviot, The Stag and the Black Oil, and the John McGrath play. And they sing a version of it, which is all about the kind of the evil capitalists and the kind of resetting history. And the chorus is, you know, I'll tell you the secrets of high industry.
Right, yeah.
So again, I mean, it's quite, that's because it's really politically subversive, that play.
Yeah.
So they know the context of the Dundee thing, and they know the context of him as the reputation as being an oppressor of the working classes.
Yeah.
And they're using that, they're hooking into it. But it's because it's so well known, because they expect people to know the context, that works.
Yeah.
These parodies can work.
Of course, yeah. That lands beyond forth, be there lords in the south, there are chiefs in the north. But the spine canny wassails 3,000 times three, cry hey for the bonnet, so bonny Dundee. Well, thank you again for listening to the podcast. We hope you've enjoyed it. You can check out all the other podcasts on www.scottishsongguide.com. Or you can subscribe on iTunes and various other podcast providers. I believe that's the term they use.
Nicely put.
Yes. And also, if you want to hear any more of our music, you can visit thesorries.co.uk and find us on YouTube and so on and so forth, Facebook, etc. All the online platforms.
Nearly all of them, anyway.
Yeah. So thanks again, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Then what to the hills stay, the lee and the rocks. Here I own a usurper of couch with the fox. So tremble, false waves, in the midst of your glee. For you've no seen the last, oh my bonnets or me. Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can. Come saddle my horses and call up my men. Uncloak the Westbourne and let us go free. For it's up with a bonnet, so bonny Dundee. Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can. Come saddle my horses and call out my men. Uncloak the Westbourne and let us go free. For it's up with a bonnet, so bonny Dundee. Aye, it's up with a bonnet, so bonny Dundee.
Hi, and welcome to the Scottish Song Guide with the Sorries, or rather with the Sorry today, as Marty's away sunning himself on his yacht in Saint-Tropez or some such. But anyway, fear not, you're not going to miss his witty banter and insightful anecdotes too much, I'm sure, because today is just a little supplementary podcast to accompany our last one, which was about Walter Scott's song Bonnie Dundee. Now, when we were discussing Bonnie Dundee for episode 4, we were talking about the fact that it's for a long time been sung as a sort of 5-verse song, whereas Walter Scott wrote 11 verses for it. So we were looking over these other verses and we recorded little snippets which were in the podcast. And as we were doing that, we were realising how great some of them were. Now, it also so happened that when we recorded episode 4 of the podcast, we were just getting ready to record our new album, and we decided that it might be a nice idea to put a full-length version of Bonnie Dundee on the album. We had the shorter version on our first album, but we thought it'd be nice to get those other verses out there. So we did that, and the album is just about finished, so we thought that this little supplementary podcast, we would just give you a chance to hear our full recording. So here it is. I hope you enjoy it. Bonnie Dundee.
To the Lords of Convention, 'twas Clavers who spoke, either King's crown shall fall or our crowns to be broke. So let each cavalier who loves honour and me come follow the bonnet of Bonnie Dundee. Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can, come saddle your horses and call up your men. Unhook the Westport and let me gang free. And it's room for the bonnets of Bonnie Dundee. Dundee, he is mounted, he rides up the street. The bells are rung backwards, the drums they are beat. But the provostous man says, Justine, let him be. The good tune is we'll quit all that deal of Dundee.
As he rode down the sanctified bent o' the bow, till Carline was flighting and shaking her paw. But the young plants of grace, they looked goody and sleet, thinking luck to thy bonnet, the Bonnie Dundee.
Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can, come saddle your horses and call up your men. Unhook the Westport and let me gang free. And it's room for the bonnets of Bonnie Dundee. With surfeatured whites the grass market was crammed, as if half o' the west had said tryst to be hanged. There was fight in each look, there was fear in each ee, as they watched for the bonnets of Bonnie Dundee.
These kills o' Kilmarnock had spits and had spears, and lang hafted gullies to kill cavaliers. But they shrunk to close heads and the causeway was free at the toss o' the bonnet of Bonnie Dundee.
Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can, come saddle your horses and call up your men. Unhook the Westport and let me gang free. And it's room for the bonnets of Bonnie Dundee. He started a foot o' the proud castle rock, and with the gay Gordon he gallantly spoke. Let Montmeg and her barrows be twa words or three, for the love o' the bonnet of Bonnie Dundee.
The Gordon demands of him which way he goes, where I shall direct me the shade of Montrose. Your grace in short space shall hear tidings of me, and it low lies the bonnet of Bonnie Dundee.
Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can, come saddle your horses and call up your men. Unhook the Westport and let me gang free. And it's room for the bonnets of Bonnie Dundee. There are hills beyond Pentland and lands beyond Ford. If there's lords in the lowlands, there's chiefs in the north. And there's wild Danny Warsels, 3,000 times 3, will cry hey for the bonnet of Bonnie Dundee.
There's brass on the target, old bark and bull hide. There's steel in the scabbard that dangles beside. The brass shall be burnished, the steel shall flash free. And a toss o' the bonnet of Bonnie Dundee. Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can. Come saddle your horses and call up your men. Unhook the westport and let me gang free. And a shrew for a bonnet, so bonny Dundee. So what to the hills, to the caves, to the rocks? Here I own a usurper, I'll couch with the fox. And tremble false wigs in the midst of your glee. But you've not seen the last of my bonnet and me. Come fill up my cup, come fill up my can. Come saddle your horses and call up your men. Unroot the westbourne and let me gang free. And it's room for the bonnet, so bonny Dundee. His proud hand and the trumpets were blown, the kettle drums clashed and the horsemen rode on, till on Ravelston's cliffs and on Clarmston's lee died away the wild war notes of Bonnie Dundee.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the chance to hear that full length version of Walter Scott's Bonnie Dundee. That version is taken from our forthcoming album, our fifth, believe it or not, which will be out in August. If during that month of August you also happen to be around Edinburgh in Scotland, then we are playing at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. We're doing a show pretty much every day. There's sort of, I think, 24 shows over 3 weeks. So, yeah, if you're about, do come along and see us. Meantime, you can get all the podcast episodes on our website, scottishsongguide.com, or via thesorries.co.uk, or you can subscribe to it on iTunes and things like that. Yeah, we will have another podcast for you very soon, but in the meantime, thank you for listening, and goodbye.
On Ravelston's cliffs and on Clarmston's lee, died away the wild war, known so funny.